Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I don't name my show. I'm here with Bill Dawes. I was just complaining about comics being the most selfish human beings in the world. Which I think they are. I love comedians, but you'll never meet a more self-centered group of people. And I hate it. I hate it. But we're all people that wanted the attention in high school that we never got, or from people like comedians. Like here's a warning. If you have a new girl you're dating, don't bring her to a comedy club, because it's not the audience you got to work out. Or even if there's like athletes, the Lakers are there. It's other comedians. Like, you know how many times I've had to tell other comedians, hey, man, I don't appreciate you DMing the girl that I brought to the comedy club. Like that's happened before. I'm like, because, and they're so slick, these comics. Like, they have the gift of gab. Have you ever had that happen before? You ever bring a girl to a comedy club and had to?
I'll drop a name. I had Neil Brennan, like, hit on my girl, like, right in front of me. And he knew I was dating her. And I just remember thinking, like, he's joking, right? He's not really hitting on her. Yeah. But first of all, and then he kept doing it. And then one time he came to me and goes, listen, like, in front of her, he goes, when he fucks up, and he will, I'll be there. And I just remember one before going, like, I guess, I don't know if this is, like, a running joke or whatever he's doing, but, like, I'll smack his face, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, yeah, right. That's a guy that's never been hit in the face before. I mean, literally, this is why everyone should be forced to wrestle in high school. Like, everyone, guys and girls. Because, like, are you out of your mind? Like, why would you? Because he looks at you. That's a guy who looks at you who's like, I'm in a higher position of comedy, so this guy won't fuck me up. I'm like, no, dude. Like, you're still a man. You know, and as a man, like, you have to protect yourself and your girl. And are you out of your fucking mind when he fucks up? Especially a guy like that. Neil Brennan's been a guy who's been picked on his whole life. Like, literally, he's had to, like, outworm himself. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, it was very weird at the time, and I kind of thought we were friends. So I have to, and of course, you know, come on, Brian Callen tried to make out with a girl that I was. So, and again, it all has this weird funny undertone, because he's always kind of, I'm goofy, I'm funny, I'm little. But boy,
I think people, because they look at you and they're probably like, oh, Bill gets a lot of pussy and he doesn't really care that about this girl maybe as much as, like, as he should or whatever. He probably maybe thinks that you'd win. I mean, why would Callen do? I mean, Callen gets, I don't think I've ever met a guy that got more girls than Brian Callen. Like, there's no reason for him to hit on your girl. Like, there's no fucking reason.
Other than for more.
Well, yeah, it's just.
People just want more.
It's crazy. That's crazy. I brought this girl who was a porn star, but we were, like, dating. She was, like, done with porn. And I brought her to the HaHa. And this comics talks to her. And then next thing I know, he DMs her. And I was like, yo, man. If I bring a girl to the HaHa, I don't care if he's a porn star, and I don't care what the fuck, do not DM her. Oh man, yeah. I didn't know you liked her. Oh really? Yeah, like, you thought I was just bringing a girl because I have friends that I would bring, but maybe check with me first. Hey man, are you, what's up with you and her? Do you mind if I, like, just, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, there was a fighter, a UFC fighter, I'll just say Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz was like, I was doing a sketch with him, and there was a girl with him who was also a fighter. And I didn't know if they were together. You know, I didn't know if, like, what their deal was, but they seemed like they were, like, very friendly. Cause you know, they were teammates. And then another girl hit me up and was like, hey, who's your friend about Dominic? Who's like hot, is hot comedian chick. You know her. You're not a fan of her. So then I DM Dom. I'm like, hey man, I don't know if you're with this girl and I don't want to disrespect her, but this other girl likes you. And he was like, yo, I really appreciate it. I'm not with the other girl. Give her my number, but thank you for looking out for her. Like that's the, you know, that's a gentleman thing to do. Like just check with people. Like Jesus, yeah. You know?
Well, if it's a girl that I don't like, I imagine it didn't work out with Dominic and her. So
it did not. No, I was saying like last night, this fucking guy was like, hooked me up with these girls who came to the show and he knows I'm married. He knows I have a kid. And I'm like, and they were at the strip club and I was still going to go drop him off at the strip club. This comedian, it's like 3 a.m. I'm like, bro, okay. Like I'll just go give you the intro. I'll leave. They're fun girls. You're single. And the guy was like, yo, first let me gamble. And I'm like, I'm fucking exhausted. I'm hungry. I have a thing on my throat. I watched this fucking guy gamble for an hour and a half. I'm sitting next to him while he's losing. I'm pissing him off with our conversation about other comics because yada, yada. And then finally it's now 4 a.m. He's like, let's go to the strip club. I'm like, no, dude, like, bro, I'm 44 years old. I got a fucking kid. My wife texted me that our 3 cats ran away.
Conspiracy, they got together and they were like, let's get the fuck
door was here. Open and they all left and then they came back, which I knew they would, but yeah. I'm like, bro, and then he's mad at me going, what, you know, going, I'm like, no bro, I didn't want to go to the strip club. Fucking, he sold me on the food there. He's like, yo, I'm like, I'm starving and literally everything's closed in the Strat and I don't feel like driving right now. It's actually cheaper to get Uber Eats delivered than it is to drive out for food.
Yeah,
which is fucking crazy. You think about it, or it's like, you know. Plus, you got to tip the valet, so it's like you got gas and the valet. I got to find someplace to open it. I'm fucking starving. So he's like, I know the guy. I was gonna go to the strip club, get food, leave. If me and my wife have shared locations on my phone, so I got to turn off my fucking phone because she'll see like, oh really, where you at, dude? The other day, I forgot we had shared locations, and I was giving my buddy a meta ride back home from the dime. And she calls me up at 11:30. She's like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm at In-N-Out. She's like, yeah, the one on Pico. And I'm like, how the fuck? My friend's looking around. Like, I'm like, oh, we have shared. And then he's like, she's like, hi, I'm Ed. She's like, oh, I'm happy. I thought for a second, like, you know, you're with a girl at In-N-Out Burger. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's my go-to. So let's get, we got, it's by the way, what's up? So anyway,
dude, that's your big close, a girl played.
Yeah, dude. So yeah, anyway, I got Josh Parisian. I'm trying to get him now. You coming on? And then I also Rowdy Beck's on the show today. So I'm giving you 2 shows. But yeah, man, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. I just feel like comedians were just.
Well, you're also talking, the person you mentioned is an exceptional case too. You know,
I love him. I love him to death.
Yeah, of course.
I love hanging out with him, and I really just wanted. I'm like, bro, I hung out with you for an hour while you're gambling. That's enough. Like, I really was. Like, I just wanted to see him. You know, like, yeah. I honestly like. Vegas girls are funny, man. Like, I'm not saying they were like. I think that everyone who moves to Vegas, like every other person or every 80% of the girls and guys have been cheated on by somebody, and they moved to Vegas to like start a new life. And they just assume that you're going to cheat. And I think a lot of people look at your Instagram life and think, oh, you have a wife and kid. And like, so they're like, oh man, if he cheats with me, that must mean I'm really fucking hot. Or that must mean like, I'm really valuable.
Or a challenge.
It's all a challenge, bro. Like when I was in a play and I was the male stripper in New York and it was all bachelorette parties and shit. And like, it was never there would be like 25 girls there, 30 girls. And I'd hook up in real life with like the hottest one, but it wasn't about me. I mean, granted I was like 21 years old or 22 and I was ripped and tan and good looking kid, but it was really about them competing with each other. It was about them feeling good about themselves by outbeating the other girl. It was nothing to do with me. That's human life, man. We're all just competitive fucking people, dude.
Like, yeah. Guys who sleep around a lot of women, it's not about the women. It's about them needing to fill that void.
Yeah. And women are like the exact same way, because you know, after the show was over and the race was over, it was like, anyway, we got a guy right now, by the way, who just left. This guy, Josh Parisian, the guy's an animal, man. He's Bigfoot. He literally is Bigfoot. He's out in the woods. He's hanging out. He doesn't believe in electricity. This guy, he's from Michigan. He moved from Michigan to West Virginia growing up, which is like, talk about depressing.
Not bad.
He doesn't even know how to use the computer. That's how much of a badass this guy is. Like, he's trying to figure it out. He's like, fuck it. I'm not. He's like, how are you, man? Where are you? Are you wanted by the cops? What's going on?
Oh, am I on here? Okay. Sorry, man.
It's all good.
Actually, that's backwards. I was West Virginia to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So a little bit better.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's better. And that changes everything.
Yeah, everything's good. I'm Bigfooting out here, but luckily we have internet. It's pretty good internet, surprisingly. So,
absolutely, man. Now, by the way, congrats on your big win against Alain Badiat, the Frenchman. I feel like they were trying to build him up. So the UFC's going to France, right? And they were like saying, yeah, this guy's like, and they were putting you in there as like a sacrificial lamb. And you're like, no, I'm not playing that. You were hurt a little bit in the first, but came back, right?
Yeah. That's funny. I know. I watched his pre-fight interview, and the only thing he talked about was going to France. He's like, yeah, I would really like to fight there, blah, blah. Didn't really talk about me a lot and his fight coming up. So that was kind of surprising. So he must have thought like he was going to walk through and then just get his fight in France, which is hard saying if this is his last fight, because I think most contracts are 4 fights, but he did have a no contest. So I don't know how that'll work.
Hey, you know, if the UFC goes to France, they're going to put him on. He's a heavyweight. He either gets knocked out or knocks the guy out. So they're going to put him on. But
yeah,
let's talk about you, man. How does it feel? You got the $50,000 bonus, right?
Yeah. I got 50K. I haven't gotten it yet. I don't know when I get it, but I'm waiting.
Yeah. And that was great, man. Did you, and then, you know, the fight before that against Dontell Mays, it was TKO elbows. Like, were you worried that if you lost, you might make it cut?
I was 100% sure I was getting cut if I didn't win, but it wasn't any pressure on me for some reason. This is the first fight I've had in the UFC where I was like, I actually want to fight. Every other one, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be here. I'm just so exhausted from the nerves. And
wow, that's crazy. Cause you look at you, you're like 280 fucking huge, yeah, manly man. And then like, you would not think that you would get nervous.
Yeah, no, I'm not nervous about the fight or being injured or anything like that. I'm just nervous about the outcome because just it means a lot to me. And before this, I made fighting my job when I got in the UFC. So it wasn't the fun thing anymore. It was I have to do this to pay for all my stuff, to feed my kid, all this stuff. And it puts a lot of pressure. And I don't know about you, but I've never enjoyed a job. And when I made it my job, I did not enjoy it. So yeah. I do something else now for just side money and I'm doing private lessons and stuff. And now this can be the fun thing that I do. I don't need it to pay my bills and stuff.
Dude, that's like auditions. I'm sure Bill can say Bill's a great actor and also a black belt. Black belt, right? Or brown still?
I'm about to get my 2 months.
Got it. But so when, you know, when you don't need something, when you go in there and like you have an audition or whatever, or a comedy show, when it, you know, I've had the worst shows I've ever had are when there were people in the crowd that like, I'm like, fuck, I have to impress them, or this job leads to that job, or I got to get this audition. Otherwise I'm like a complete failure, but I'm just having fun. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah. When I went out there, I almost didn't give a shit. And something about that allowed me to do better.
Dude, it's now your life, man. I was reading about you. You grew up, your stepdad was abusive, and you grew up, you and your mom grew up in shelters. In Michigan?
I didn't grow up in a shelter, but I've been to a shelter twice.
Holy shit. So how old were you?
You would just go to a shelter with your
mom. I'm sorry, say again.
I'm sorry, just after a bad night, like with, I'm assuming with your father, then you and your mom would have to go to a shelter. Is that how that would work?
Both situations were a situation where it got really bad and she wanted to move, but didn't have the resources to be able to leave, essentially, because part of like the abuse cycle is like making them quit their jobs and like detaching them from all of it. And that's exactly what he did. So that was just like our only thing that we could do to maybe possibly get away. And, but both times, She went back to him, but
now this was your stepdad. Where was your dad? Your biological dad?
My real dad lived in West Virginia. He passed away when I was 16.
Wow.
So one of the times I did move with him. He wanted me to move down with him. I moved with him, but it ended up being like a not super great situation because, my stepmom was like very, very religious, very, we weren't allowed to watch any shows unless it was Lifetime or Disney, 10 minutes of internet time. Like it was like really strict, and it was way more strict than I was used to. And then, you know, as a kid, I ended up messing around with a girl in the bathroom at school, and then we got caught, and then I got expelled. And then that was like really bad for me. So I ended up moving back to Michigan.
Wow. So you moved back to Michigan, yeah, and you're with your mom, who's with your stepdad, who's beating her up. And how old are you? 16, 17?
She met him in sixth grade. And then when I just turned 18, he ended up beating her for 15 hours. I wasn't there. I was at a concert in Milwaukee, beat her, did a bunch of stuff. She hit her with a baseball bat and stuff like that. And just when I got home, there was blood all over the walls, and he had gotten in the car and he had ran from the cops. There was it was a high speed chase. And then he ended up, I think he only got 6 years, but he pled to a lesser. I think he didn't want torture on there because torture was a bad one. But whatever it ended up being, he only got 7 years, I think it was.
So you're 17 years old. You've seen that happen to your mom. That must have fucked you up. That must have totally, put you in a crazy place.
Yeah, it's kind of strange because like kind of like he was with her. Like my my ability to how do I say this? Old for things change. You know what I mean? So like crazy things, it just got a little bit crazier incrementally. You know what I mean? Yeah. So a certain point, I'm like, yeah, I understand this is crazy, but it might not be as crazy for me as it might be for somebody who's never seen anything. Right.
Right.
So just kind of, I got eased into the crazy.
Wow. And Bill, this guy, another psychopath is Josh Parisian. No disrespect, but he's in school and somebody's giving a speech on the UFC in a public speaking class.
Yep.
So he goes, that sounds fun.
That's you got involved
in them. Yeah, and then he joined the gym. So you did no sports in high school?
I did. I did not in high school. I did football, and I only played one game. And they put me in after we were already winning by 40 points for one play, and it was really bad.
Were you?
I was really bad. Player? What's that?
Yeah,
so I thought you were that bad a football player. That's what I said.
Oh,
you were so. Were you that big, or did you have a late growth spurt?
No, I was huge. Just bad. Awkward.
Hey Bill, is there any other place in your house that you have better internet? Your Wi-Fi's coming in and out. So then you go to college, right? So in college, it was a public speaking class, and someone did a report about the UFC?
Yeah, they just did a public assignment on it, and from Escanaba, like I didn't even know about the UFC. Like I didn't even know that that was a thing. And when I wanted to do it, I didn't want to do it to fight. I wanted to just do mitts and stuff like that and learn to fight, because at that point I just had no confidence. And although the physical abuse is like, you know, is bad, but it was really the mental abuse that really messed me up. And he would do everything he could to try to make me feel like a lesser of a person. And he would, and one example I give that's really bad is like he would write on my mirror when I woke up in the morning with the edge of the bar of soap, like "you fat fuck" and all this stuff and anything to like, so I could wake up and that'd be the first thing I see. You know what I mean? Just to try to
Josh, you feel as small, Josh, as you could. I know during your fight, I wrote Josh Parisian has some chin. In fact, he has 7 of them. I just want to say, I apologize. I had no idea that you woke up to "you fat fuck" on your mirror. Okay. So
it didn't fuck me enough to go on a diet.
Yeah. but now that I know this, I'm like, holy fuck.
No, you're good, man.
Okay, cool. I said that your fight was for the body positive championship and this and that. So I just want to say, I apologize for any fat jokes I made about you.
No, that's good, man. I like that's funny. You know, like as a kid, it's like, I don't know, it's different as a kid now, especially being in the UFC, like people making fun of you as part of the job, and it doesn't bother me at all, right?
Oh, good. Yeah, it seemed like it. The post you were like liking on the thing, I'm like, okay, this guy's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, no, no.
All right, so now you're in college, a light bulb goes off, you're like, you had a terrible experience in high school. I mean, I can't imagine what you must have went through. I went to a boarding school for troubled kids too, and I had some type of abuse in my family, but more like with substances and gambling. But holy shit, man. I mean, having to be with your mom in a shelter, I can't imagine what that must have been like. But so how do you then join an MMA gym?
So yeah, so it wasn't really an MMA gym when I first joined with that guy that was doing the public speaking class. He was borrowing the Escanaba wrestling room after hours. They let him in there, and there were just three people doing mitts, and I just did mitts with him. And I don't know, just like doing that made me feel good about myself. Like maybe I could defend myself in a situation. So I was there every day. I was there 10 minutes early. If he wasn't there, I'm texting him like, "Hey man, are you coming?" And then I don't know, it wasn't enough for me. So I moved downstate to the lower part of Michigan to live with my uncle. He gave me a job doing construction. And then I drove to Romulus, which is close to Detroit. It's where the Detroit airport is, which is an hour and a half from me. Every day I trained down there. And then I found a gym closer to me in Brighton, which was 30 minutes away. But I just trained every day. I was there on Sunday, and I got talked into taking a fight. I never wanted to take a fight. I got talked into it. They're like, "You're here every day. You're the hardest worker here. You should fight." I got on the card. I won by knockout. And I guess like I felt the way other people made me feel, I felt really good. Everyone's so happy for me and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm somebody who didn't have a lot of confidence. I'm like, man, that makes me feel good that everybody is super pumped for me to doing this thing. And then I just kept doing it. And obviously my reasons for fighting have changed since then. I have my confidence. It's not about that anymore, but like I went 4-0, 5-0. I got all the amateur belts in Michigan, and then I went pro. And then I don't know, just as I was doing it, I never wanted to get in the UFC, but like as that goal came a little closer, I'm like, well, maybe I can get there. And then I don't know, as it was going, I started shooting for that.
I mean, Bill, how incredible is the guy that has no fighting background?
Crazy. It makes me think of like The Water Boy, the Adam Sandler movie, The Water Boy. Just like this years of pent up frustration and rage and being bullied. It just like it just comes out. Like, because you like what made sense for you at first was the mitts, right?
So yeah, I'm doing the mitts.
Like, was your foray into the UFC, into MMA? Like for me, it was always jiu-jitsu because I was like, I don't want to hurt this baby. But you know what I mean? Like, but like for you, when you first punched, that was like, oh man, this is it.
Yeah. The striking was my in. I didn't do jiu-jitsu for a long time because like, I guess the same concept of me trying to build confidence, jiu-jitsu did not give me confidence at all because it's obviously a very hard thing to do. And it's one of those sports where you just fail until you finally find success. But like, I just, at the time when I was first getting into it, I couldn't do the fail because it made me feel bad. You know what I mean? And then eventually I got over that and was able to do it. And
I mean, now before fights, do you ever like think about your stepdad and that, like, you're like, did that help get you pumped up? And, like,
No. Actually, I do my best to try to stay calm, and I try to, you know, I'm not trying to get angry at all.
Tricks? Do you have any tricks or tips for how to do that? Like a meditation or a mantra, or what do you tell yourself to get there?
I really try to remind myself like the things that I can control and that I can't control, because like so many times I'll be thinking about so many different outcomes of the fight and like what he might do and all these different scenarios, and like that's not anything I control. And if I dwell on it, I'll get nervous and I can't control it anyway. So all I can control is just me. So I focus on like, I'm going to go out there and give it all my effort. You know, I worked hard. I have a lot to give, and all I can do is give what I have. So
does your mom come to your fights?
She does. She hasn't because she hasn't been able to, but she watches them on TV and stuff.
Does she call you up?
She was in
great job. And
yeah. She got a tattoo on her arm that says it's got a MMA glove. It says UFC Josh Parisian. She got it before I got in the UFC. That was a lot of pressure. I'm like, I have to get in the UFC now. I can't have my mom have a UFC tattoo, and I'm not even in the UFC.
I got to get my mom to put like Netflix special or something.
Yeah, there you go.
That's awesome.
So,
and then
my mom's really old, so I'm like, like I couldn't imagine because you probably have a young mom. Because I was like,
I have a young mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was 18 when she had me.
Oh my God. Well, in like West Virginia, that's like old. That's like
yeah.
The meemaw.
Yeah, I got a sister that got pregnant at 13 and had a kid at 14.
Really?
Yeah, from West Virginia.
Wow. So did you grow up like in the sticks in West Virginia? Like, did you grow up in?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What was the name of the town?
It's called Hedgesville.
And how
you
many
can look it up. It's small. I'm not sure, but it's really small.
And is it very like meth trailer parks?
I mean, no, it's more like a lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking. So
yeah, a lot of drinking. Not a lot of drugs, but Escanaba, where I'm from, that's got a lot of meth. They call it meth Canaba.
Oh my God.
Did you ever meet Jessica White? Do you know Jessica White?
No.
The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Anyway.
Oh, I did watch that. That was nuts. That's a different part of West Virginia, and that's worse. That's definitely worse.
Wow. Okay. So did you grow up in like a house or a trailer?
I grew up in a trailer, but it was on like a piece of property. And then my mom lived in a trailer as well. I would go in between trailers.
That's I'm in between trailers. That's hilarious.
I'm in between trailers right now.
So, I mean, look where you came from, man. A lot of people in your position would be in jail, or they'd be like just alcoholics or just drug addicts. I mean, you have every excuse to do that. You know, my mom got the shit beaten out of her for 15 hours, and I grew up in a trailer, look how far you've come. You must be proud of yourself.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself. And I think, I don't know. I just think so much trauma like that will make somebody spiral, or they'll go one of either way, one extreme. It's either going to be really bad or you're going to find a lot of success. Mm-hmm. One of those situations. So I was fortunate to have chosen the path of success, I guess. And whether I chose it or something, I don't know, whether certain things happen at the right time in my upbringing that pushed me that way. I don't know.
Yeah. What was the good thing that got you on the right path? It can't just all be you being an amazing human being from birth.
Yeah. I honestly don't know.
Bill, the Wi-Fi got worse. Bill, the Wi-Fi is worse. How is this guy in the middle? This guy's in the middle of the mountains. He's got better Wi-Fi. Are you in Texas? Where are you?
No, I'm here.
I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just saying that like the people are going to listen to you here.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a fine line. I hate being a dick. I hate being like, your Wi-Fi, but I also want to hear your question. So, Josh, back to we'll let Bill sort that out. So, you have a hot wife. I've seen her in pictures. How did this
happen? She's not my wife yet.
Oh, okay. But you guys have a kid.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Yes.
When we first got together, I had like a little into it. I had said something about like, you know, if we ever got married, and then she laughed and she said, I'm not ever getting married again. Cause she's been in a bad marriage before. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, some time passes and then she mentions something about us getting married. I'm like, if we're getting married, you have to ask me. So that's the deal.
Oh, wow. That's fucking smart.
I'm waiting
smart.
For her to propose to me. Yeah.
Look at you. All right. That's really smart. And where did you guys meet?
I was a personal trainer.
Oh, you're the asshole, man.
I'm that guy.
this is why people don't send their fucking. Okay, well, speaking of hottie, all right. So, Josh, we're gonna wrap this up. By the way, yeah. Sure. By the way, Josh, you know Rowdy Beck.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Rowdy Beck, I dressed
I follow
up.
I follow your OnlyFans.
No, you don't. You really? Oh,
yeah. Oh, do you have one? I'm just kidding.
Dude, does she have one? Dude, her last fight. She had OnlyFans on her ass, right? But like literally not even on her ass. It was a flap that went up. Like, it wasn't even like every time she threw a punch, OnlyFans went flying.
It was strategically placed.
Why couldn't it was like it was like a loose one of those fucking license plate on her ass, like why
a mud flap?
Yeah, it was a mud flap. Beck, why didn't they sew that to your shorts?
It was a skirt, so I just had the logo put onto the skirt.
Oh, I was like, I thought maybe the last minute they just like you got. I don't know what the fuck happened. But,
no, it was a skirt over shorts, so the logo was on the skirt.
Did you watch Josh's last fight?
No, I didn't actually.
Well, you guys fought the same night, so that makes sense.
I don't watch your OnlyFans either.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, listen. So he's Saturday night. Josh won. He got the $50,000 heavyweight in the UFC. This dude,
oh, shit. Congrats.
Real quick story back because Breck will appreciate this guy came from the sticks of West Virginia. His mom was abused by the stepdad. The guy went to jail for 5 years. He was in a fucking orphanage, a shelter with him. He goes to college. Wow. I don't know how he got into college. Somebody gave a speech on the UFC and he's like, that would be fun. And then he goes downstairs to the wrestling room with two guys, learns how to hit mitts. And now he's in the UFC 7 years later as one of the top.
That's awesome. Guys. Yeah. That's really cool.
But where can people follow you, Josh?
You can probably Instagram. I have Twitter, but I'm not very good at it. I don't know how to use it. So Parisian MMA.
Your confidence is booming. Well, listen, Josh, thank you so much, man. And I will talk to you soon, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. That was Josh Parisian. Great guy. Holy shit.
Yeah. All these people had horrible upbringings. They're so nice.
except for this one. So listen. So Rowdy Beck, by the way, I watched your fight. It was a very close fight. You fought technically great. You got no damage. It was close. Yeah. The fifth round was like typical Rowdy Beck. Just fucking go all out brawl.
Yeah.
I honestly thought they were going to give it to you. It was close. Were you surprised? Were you shocked? How do you feel?
Look, my coach at the start of the fifth round, he said, you got to hit the fuck it button. Cause we just had that eerie feeling that the judges were not going to give it to me. Especially with the way that like she fought me, if you could call it fighting. So it was a really frustrating fight. You know, I've lost a few fights before, obviously, and I can always cop them when it's a fun fight and I actually get to go out there and fight. But I felt like it was like a sparring match. She didn't really want to fight me. I know she had a game plan and she stuck to it, but just made for a really frustrating, shitty sparring match. So I was just really frustrated at the end of it. And I just had a feeling that the judges were going to give it to her. You know, I've been ripped off by judges before. So I just had that feeling, you know, in my guts that it wasn't going to go my way. And yeah, turns out that they gave it to her.
Do you think maybe that was because she's been active in the BKFC and you taking time off and they were like, we need her to win if it's a close because that way she'll be or no?
I don't know. You know, I don't know what if the judges are up to date with like the bare knuckle judging criteria, because you know when I first started with them they released a video and it went over the rule set, the how it's going to be judged, you know, everything that you can do. And the biggest thing for judging criteria is they say there's a premium based on aggressiveness and punching power. So at the end of the day, if it's a close fight, you've got to give it to the one that's pushing the pace, you know, controlling the center and trying to make something of the fight. So if that was the case, then I would have won. But I don't know. I don't know what these, you know, commissions, if they're scoring it that way or if they're trying to score it like a boxing fight. But then I was sitting with my coaches. I'm like, even if it was a boxing fight, I still think I won that fight. But I just don't know. I don't know what they're doing, what they're seeing.
It was hard for you because she was out of range. She was staying out of range for you.
Yeah.
So you couldn't fall because she was, but she wasn't hitting me back. Your lip was bloody a little bit. But
yeah, this happened in the clinch exchange. I don't know if it was a punch or what. I just remember like us clinching and me feeling like, you know, hotness come to my lip. And I was like, oh, that's my lip busted open again. Cause my last bare knuckle fight, I broke my tooth and my lip got split and it's just the scar that split back open.
Got it.
But yeah, so like she did get me a few times, absolutely, but I got her a lot of times as well. So
I thought you were looking at. It was Bill. It was the craziest thing. So after the fight, right? So Rowdy Beck is just like, come on, come on. And then the fight's over. And she goes, she's a fucking pussy vagina bitch, right? This is what she says. Like,
those were the words.
I called her a gaping vagina.
Yeah, she goes, she's a gaping vagina. She goes, this fight sucked because of that fucking pussy. It's true.
It's how I felt. I was so annoyed because it wasn't a fight. It was shit. I don't know if you could hear on the TV, but the crowd was booing the whole fight. I've never had a crowd boo me ever. I'm like the poster child for exciting fights, especially within bare knuckles. So to have the crowd booing and me trying to make something of the fight and her just not wanting any part of it, it was fucking frustrating.
Dude, then the girl walks up to her. She goes, I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. She goes, I'm going to pray for you. And she goes, fuck you, you fucking twat mother. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
She was trying to apologize for talking shit about my kids. And I'm like, I'm Australian. You don't talk about someone's kids. And then like, just because we had a fight, I'm not going to shake your hand and respect you. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. Don't talk about people's kids. We're not friends.
The kids are like 5 years old. The kids are like 10. What does she want with your kids? Your kids didn't.
She said, I'm a terrible mom because I let my kids give the finger for a profile picture on my Facebook.
That's an awesome mom. That's the best mom.
Right,
dude. Beck. So I've hung out with Beck before. She's like one of the nicest, coolest people. But she's definitely like, I don't understand how. Are you still single or no?
I'm married now.
You're married now. I was gonna say her being single made no sense because she's like hot and she fights and she's fun. I'm like, this got to be. I'm like missing. Okay, so you are married. Who are you married to?
Yeah, Adrian Rodriguez.
He's a fighter too?
Yeah, he's a boxer. And my coach. He was my coach in my corner, one of my coaches.
Was he the guy with the tattoos on his head?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
I was about to say, either she's married to a total badass or an accountant.
Yeah.
It's always the way, isn't it?
The guy with tattoos on you guys, but you know what? He seems like you guys have a good amount of respect for each other, though. Like, it seems like you really... Yeah. You listen to him and you're not like, you know, he seems to really like respect you. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. It's a healthy relationship.
Well, it's about time.
And if you get in a fight, you have no takedown defense probably, right?
No, he used to fight MMA as well. So I've got no hope.
Perfect. So why did you take the, what was it? 2 years off, 3 years off? Why did you take some time off?
Well, I was stuck in Australia because of COVID. It wasn't by choice. I couldn't get out of the country. So it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back. Like I fought in 2020 in February, right before COVID hit. And I got back in March and we got completely locked down, couldn't leave your house. So I kind of wrote off that year and I was like, oh, it is what it is. You know, I've been fighting heaps. So I'll spend some time with the kids and the family. And then 2021 came around. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to get back into it. And then Australia just was not complying. They wouldn't let anyone out. It was just a big pain in the ass. So and then I kept booking a fight and it kind of kept getting pushed backwards and backwards because of all of the red tape you have to go through to get out of the country. So as soon as the country opened up completely, bare knuckle booked me. So it wasn't by choice.
Now they call you the bare knuckle queen, which is awesome. And I had a joke. I go, and Magana is the knuckles deep queen, by the way. No, you.
She would own that nickname for sure.
Oh, 100%. Dude, by the way, so Bill, funny story. So Angela Magana used to flirt with me, right? So one night after her fight, she's like, come up and party. I'm with Beck. And I'm like, dude, this is going to be the best night. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen, right? So I show up in the Palms. I go out, like I get weed, I get alcohol. Not even my thing. I'm like, we're going to have a blast. There's 19 Mexican UFC fighters in the hotel room, right? They were cursing me out in 30 different ways the whole time. I'm like in the corner, like, I think we were playing like a board game or something. It was not the fucking night I thought it was gonna be. Let's just say that. I don't know what you call that. Fucking cat, wan fish. Just had a catfish, just like wan fish or something. Like with wan, like Mexican wan. I mean, yeah, it was still fun. It was still a blast. I still had a
good night. Yeah, it was a good night.
I still had a blast. And like Magana lost like an hour before and was still partying, drinking, like having a great time. And me and Beck, we were laughing all night long. The Mexicans did not like me in that room, by the way. Yeah, I got I think what? I don't know. I think they wanted.
Was this a language barrier? That's all.
Yeah, I was the annoying guy. I was. They kept calling me like, you know, gringo pussy and shit and yada yada. So anyway, back to Rowdy Beck. So you took some time off. You went back to Bellator though, right?
Mm-hmm.
What now? You signed a huge contract with BKFC. It says most money you ever made, more than you made in the UFC. Why did you go back to Bellator?
So I'd fought out my contract with Bare Knuckle and they were meant to like re-sign me and they were just taking forever, to be honest, to get my contract. And at that point, you know, I've got two mouths to feed. So I was sitting there like, what the fuck's going on? Like, why haven't I got my contract? And
right.
It was just kind of like a misunderstanding, I guess. And I was just like, you know, I'm going to sign with Bellator. I could rely on them. They offered me a contract and I was like, okay. So that, cause they were going to offer me a fight straight away. So I went back to Bellator, not back to Bellator, back to MMA. And like I always had, you know, I was intending on going back to MMA anyway or doing both at the same time. So, and Bellator is pretty cool, like where they let you do both anyway. So it kind of just made sense at the time. But so, yeah, I had two fights with Bellator and then went back to Bare Knuckle. I've just been floating around. But, you know, I'm going to stay with Bare Knuckle now, boxing and Bare Knuckle boxing. I think my time with the MMA is done. Yeah. I'm just going to leave that behind and focus on my boxing.
Who do you want? Do you want to fight Paige? Is she still doing Bare Knuckle? Yeah.
I've been asking for that fight. So now I guess because we've both lost to Britt and Hart, they could probably make that fight. But yeah, I've been asking for that fight. It's definitely one that interests me and I think it'll sell. I think it'll be a big yeah. event that people would want to tune into. So I'm down for it.
That'll be great. The other girl is really good. That girl, Christina Ferreira, she's a monster.
Yeah. She's really good.
And we're talking about the hot fighters star fighting. Yeah.
I mean, she's a hot. I'm sure people find her hot. Dude, these bare knuckle girls, you and that other girl, Taylor. Oh my God. There's another blonde that like is like her Instagram is insane. I think we have been on the show before. She's half naked in all her pictures, if not.
Yeah. I love it.
Hats everywhere. Ass out. They're hotter than the ring girls. Like the ring.
Yeah,
like
you. Oh, like, the ring girls are pretty hot though. They're pretty hot.
The ring girls hot, but like these girls. You're like, what the? That girl's a fighter. And then you talk to them. They're the sweetest. They're all mother taking their kids to school and like yada yada. And they're in the PTA. And then at nighttime, they have cats and their asses are out and they're on OnlyFans. It's like they're like.
It's the like best of both worlds. We can do both. We can multitask.
It really is. What's that thing when you dress up as someone else so that you put? It's like
cosplay.
It's like, yeah, it's like they cosplay mothers though. Like they're really. The opposite of fucking like cosplay.
That's what you want to think. I think we're more mums and then cosplay into the other side. But yeah.
Now you're still on OnlyFans, but you're married. Is your husband cool with your OnlyFans?
Yeah, of course. No, I do it in secret. I hide it from him. No.
Do you participate together in OnlyFans? You and your husband? Do you have joint videos or
no we don't do anything like that. It's just solely me.
but let's say someone's like, hey Rowdy Beck, here's, you know, $1,000, you send me a topless picture, right? Which I'm not even sure it's you or some guy from the Philippines responding, but anyway, so okay, so let's say okay let's say you're like, okay, sure, here you go. He's not like, he doesn't get jealous or he's not like, what are you selling that person? Like, there's none of that.
No, he's all good. Like, he understands the hustle. If he didn't, I don't think he could be with me. I've always been someone that's kind of done my own thing, and he's always respected me, and he understands that you can't tame someone like me, and I don't think he would want to. You know, he loves me for who I am. So
right from Australian outback.
Yeah, dude, it's true. I know that's true. My wife, I told my wife, I'm like, someone wanted me to get on Cameo. And I'm like, but I'm like, no one will want anything. And she's like, she said that she would join. But like, I agree. I'll hang out with my wife. You want me to say that on Cameo? Like, yes. She's going to have me fucking say that.
Not.
Yeah, like, I was like, I'm like, that doesn't count. Like, give me a break. So that's awesome. Now, how much time do you get to spend in Miami when you went there?
We're only there for a week. I went to San Diego for a week before that, just to do the last of my camp and acclimate to the time zone. And yeah, we just flew straight back home. I just wanted to get back to the kids and the animals.
Did you see Dominic Cruz and Phil Davis and all those guys in San Diego?
Yeah. I didn't see Phil. I saw Dom. and a bunch of the Alliance crew. I stayed with Eric Del Fiero, my coach.
Oh, that's cool.
And his wife. So yeah, I got to catch up with everyone.
Is Dom happy? I feel like he's never happy.
He's happy. He's just a little grumpy sometimes.
A little grumpy.
But he's happy.
Yeah.
He's getting to punch someone in the face soon. So of course he's happy.
That's the other girl is crazy too. Your friend Paulina.
Yeah.
She's a nut job too. I like her. She's amazing. That's the girl from Texas we had on the show. She's Mexican.
Yeah.
Now
she's engaged as well. She's getting married soon too. She's settling down.
I can't believe it. So this week we got he's from New Zealand, but close enough. Israel Adesanya versus the Killer Gorilla, Jared Cannonier. Who wins this fight, Beck?
I've got Adesanya. I think he's been untouchable lately. He's just got this cool style, and I don't think anyone can really catch him. I thought Rob Whittaker had his ticket, and he didn't. So I'm actually interested in that rematch. But, yeah, I've got Adesanya.
Volkanovski versus Holloway.
Volk. Got to go the Aussie. I think he's untouchable. I think he's got such a great skill set, fundamentals. He doesn't do anything crazy. He just keeps it bread and butter, simple, and he's so good at it. I don't think anyone's going to touch him anytime soon.
Bill, you?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Also, I feel like the person that wins the second fight in a rubber match almost always wins the third.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? By the way, I like how your Wi-Fi is perfect with Rowdy Beck. But with the other guy, it was like you couldn't hear a fucking word. All of a sudden, you have perfect Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wi-Fi has a bug. No, I don't know what to
say. Sean Strickland, Alex Pereja. Is that how you say it? Pereja. Who wins this fight, Beck?
Shit, I don't know. I don't know about that one. That one's a tough one. Sean's awkward, but it works for him. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I'll go Sean, though.
I'm excited about this one because he's so crazy on the internet. And then you hear him talk and he's like kind of normal, sort of. The other guy is a straight kickboxer, but I don't know. I mean, Sean might be dumb enough to like strike with him. He said he goes, I can knock out any glory champion. I'm like, bro, like you can't knock out any glory champion. Like that's
well, it is MMA though. It's different. I find like it's just striking's different. Weird shit works in MMA that shouldn't work. So yeah, it definitely brings a different element.
Like what?
I feel like their aggressiveness and the angles that the punches come in MMA is a lot different, and the distancing is different, and the timing's different. You know, when you're up against someone awkward. When punches are coming at you in different angles and timing, it's hard to adjust to. So I think he's got kind of got that edge on him.
More importantly, how did your husband get you? Was he was your trainer?
Back to the husband.
Yeah.
He's a training partner and now he's my coach. But yeah, we've met what, 10 years ago or so. We've known each other forever.
Was that Rowdy Beck was a big flirt, but would never hook up with people. Like she was the girl that was, you spent hours talking to, you knew she was wild in bed, but was never giving it up. Was that a fair assessment of you?
That is a fair assessment. I'm not a tease. I'm nice. All right. People take my niceness as sluggish. Yes. So, you know, that's a reflection on you, not on me.
Yeah.
If you're nice and they think you want a bone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So exactly. how many guys after like three or four either dates or phone conversations went for a kiss or to feel you up and you're like, no, got pissed. Probably a lot of guys, right?
You know, I broke a few hearts. It's all right.
Yeah.
This is character building.
I want to know, did a guy ever like make a move on you and you put him in like a friggin' chokehold or do something? Did you?
No, I would never do that.
No, because Rowdy Beck was always the girl that, like, you see her on Instagram, her ass is showing, her boobs, this and that. She's jumping on trampolines, but no one hooked up with her. Like, they're like, what? This is my goodness.
I'm very private, though. I'm very private. I don't put.
If you tell anyone, I'll kill you.
Is that what happened?
I don't put my personal life on social media. Like, it looks like I do, but. It's selected. I don't feel like I need to like broadcast, you know, what I'm doing with my vagina 24/7. Like, that's weird to me.
Yeah. Not personal life, just your butthole. Okay. Now
exactly.
Yes. Got it. Sean O'Malley versus Pedro Munhoz. Who wins this fight, Beck?
Ooh.
I've got Sean. I like Sean. I think he should win, but who knows? I don't know.
Dude, he's also, Bill, you ever talk to Sean? He's the most serious guy. Like,
oh, really?
He's got a deep voice. You think he's gonna be this wild party guy because he looks like Rowdy Beck, like literally. but he's just like, yep. Like, he just has like those dead eyes.
I think he processes what you're saying, so he doesn't say anything dumb. I think he's like someone that analyzes everything.
Yeah, him and Chase Hooper came to my show last night. Exact same fucking way. Like, laughs at every tense joke, kind of chuckles. They say he's like,
maybe you're not that funny.
Probably. I mean, that's just me. I've thought of that plenty of times. But you would never know. You never came to a show because she was supposed to come, but she took fucking muscle fat burners and ended up, right? Remember, you're going to come with Dominic. Yes. She took fat burners and had a fat burner panic attack.
So. It happens. It's niacin. I have a reaction to niacin.
Done that before.
Jalen Turner, who's coming, he was a guy that was afraid of tarantulas. And now he has thousands of tarantulas. He breeds tarantulas, this big, tall black guy, which you would not think that was like his hobby. But and he's fighting Brad Riddell, who I think is from around you, right? Brad Riddell?
Is he? Oh, Riddle.
Brad Riddle. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's Aussie.
Who's going to win this fight?
I have no idea. I'm going to go for the Aussie. I haven't really been following the UFC, so I'm going to go for the Aussie, all right?
All right, fine. You can go for
them. If you ask them, they probably would never go for me, but I'll go for them because they're Aussie.
Do you
watch the UFC because, like, you, like, have a bad taste in your mouth? I mean, I'm like that with, like, if I audition for something, I don't get it. I'm like, I'm not watching that fucking movie. Is it like that or what is it?
So he's watching.
I'm in the gym. I'm always fighting. Everything's fighting. So, like, sometimes I just, like, zone out. I'm like, you know, I've had enough of fighting. And I just don't follow. I've never really followed the roster, really. Like, obviously the big fights, my friends that are fighting, I follow. But, yeah, not really.
People send me videos of their favorite comic. I'm not looking at this fucking video. Like, they're like, hey, watch. I'm like, no, why would I fucking watch? I mean, 90% of comics I watch and I just tune out because
you're around it so much.
And you've also heard most of it or variations of every joke or you're like, why is the crowd laughing at this bullshit? But then there are times where, like, you get caught. You're like, holy fuck, that's a good joke. Like, holy shit, that's a good joke. Or, wow. Like, and then you're like inspired and also mad you didn't think of it. It's a double whammy. Like, I'm like, fuck, I gotta go fucking right now. Number one. But also number two, you're like, man, I thought of that fucking concept, but I didn't follow up on it. You know?
Yeah.
Macy Barber versus Jessica Eye.
Ooh. So that's a tough one. I like both of them. I like both. You know, Macy Barber's a, you know, a prodigy up and coming, and Jessica Eye is a great veteran. So I'm going to go for Jessica Eye, but it's going to be a good fight. I didn't even know they were fighting. This is how out of the loop I am.
Is there an OnlyFans, like, hey, girl power thing? Because she's an OnlyFans. I heard she's making a fortune on OnlyFans. Like, a fucking.
Yeah, she's doing really well. Really well. It's good to see. It's good to see the girls jump on. And
you have to be a bucket of yucks not to make a lot of money on OnlyFans.
But dude, she's selling pictures of, like, her naked for like 10 grand. And like her feet for like $2,000. Like, what kind of, no offense, Beck, but who the fuck is paying to see her feet for $2,000? Like, what kind of fetish?
They do. They love it. It's great. It's great.
Who loves it? What? I mean, give $2,000, he said, so much feet? Like, just work at a shoe store. Like,
just don't know, Adam. You're not part
not the
of
same. It's club. Not the same.
Oh, my God. But do they not know that they're paying to see the feet? I mean, that doesn't care. They just fact, like, wouldn't they want to see the feet, like, be next to you and see the feet? Not like.
I don't know. It depends how they sell it, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm not Jessica.
How much are your feet?
With the person.
What? Yeah. How much is he Roddy Beck's feet? Like, about someone's like, hey,
I don't know. I haven't really done that much lately. It just depends. It depends what they want. Honestly, it's it varies.
What are some of the craziest requests you got?
Oh, there's been a few. Like, there's a lot of people that like choking stuff. I'm like, that's weird.
But
wait,
but
that's weird?
Wait, no, but they want you to choke yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because who are you going to choke? So they're like, hey, the video of you choking yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And you're like, I don't want to die. What, do you have, a noose? I'm like,
I'm like, it doesn't look hot.
A oh belt?
God. So someone's like, hey, Brody Beck, I have a choking thing. You're so hot. You're so pretty. I'll give you $3,000 for you to choke yourself. Does your husband come in and put you in a rear naked choke from behind?
No.
No. That's crazy. I feel like you're talking to your kids right now, right?
Yeah, I'm like telling Ensign to go. He just woke up at 6 o'clock. I'm like, go back to bed.
All right, we'll move on. I don't want your kids to hear about their mom choking themselves. All right, so Jesse Jess is fighting Julija Staliarenko.
Okay.
You know these people?
Jesse. No, I know Jesse Jess. I'm not sure of her opponent though.
Are you and Jess friends?
Acquaintances.
There's a story.
Yeah, of course. Well, she's from Australia too. I think they dated similar men or the same guy.
No, we did not. We did not date the same man.
Okay. They fought each other, and they're both hot and from Australia. So you know there's gonna be, and they have tattoos on their face. So you know there's gonna be problems there. Like, I feel like they were fighting each other, and I wrote like, this is a battle of who hates their dad the most or something.
I saw that.
Dude, I asked Beck. I'm like, Beck, do you care? She goes, quit being a cunt. That's what she told me. So I'm like, thank you, Beck.
You're a cunt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So, Beck, where could people follow you, find you, the whole deal?
Everything's under Rowdy Beck. So Facebook is Rowdy Beck. Instagram.com/Rowdy Beck. Twitter.com/Rowdy Beck. Everything is under Rowdy Beck. I'll make it easy. You can find me most of the platforms. Rowdy Beck, you got it.
Now you look great, by the way, and your lips look
thank you.
I don't want to say they look like DSLs. That was the word for dick sucking lips back in the day. But I'm just saying that, like,
I got a big fat one.
Yeah. The fat one looks like it. You might want to keep that.
The scar tissue actually stays in there. So I had all the scar tissue from the last fight. So it looks like I've got filler in my lips, but I don't. It's just all scar tissue. You
pay a lot of money to get lips like those.
Exactly. Exactly. All you have to do is get punched in the face. Free. Well,
you look great. You're a great fighter. You're a great mom. Great guest.
Thank
great
you.
Friend. And thank you for being you and being such a breath of fresh air.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's good talking to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Nice to meet
you. See you guys.
All right. That was Rowdy Beck.
You must have had a crush on her for years.
I kind of did have a crush on her back in the day. I mean, now she's married with kids, and I have a kid, and I'm married, so it's like, what's the point of even saying that, you know? But yeah, I mean, she's adorable. I mean, she's like a cool chick. Like, who wouldn't have a crush on her?
Of course.
I mean, she's got big titties, fucking nice ass, pretty face, you know? She's like, that accent's fucking hot.
Insane, yeah.
I mean, Australia is just like, wasn't the whole country like all criminals from people that got kicked out of Europe? Yeah.
Criminals from like England.
Like they put
them in ships and send them to Australia.
I mean, that's. I had sex with a girl from Australia one time, and afterwards she's like, "That's all you got," and I was like, "Dude, yes, it was all I had, 100%." But like, I had to go again just to fucking prove my worth. But you can't see Roddy Beck doing that. Like, I mean, she's talking about her own. I mean, give me a break. I don't know what. Why would you want to paint a picture of someone choking themselves? Like, what if she dies? Like, are you a conspiracy to murder in that case? Like,
oh my God. I mean, this, we missed it, Adam. Fuck. To be like an attractive woman now, you can make so much money, like $10,000 a month doing almost nothing on OnlyFans.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that COVID and the pandemic, any stigma anyone had, people are like, fuck it. You know, like, it used to be, that picture will come back and haunt you. And now, like, is there anything going to ever come back to haunt you?
And imagine 20 years from now when everyone has like fucking everything has out in the open. You don't have one private moment in your life.
Oh, man. But you don't think that Beck's adorable? I mean, that you wouldn't date Beck?
Of course I would. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I would probably kick a small child if I had the opportunity.
Where are you, by the way? Are you in LA?
No. No.
Are you in a hotel room?
Yeah.
Where?
Secret location.
Oh my god. I never know where you are. Are you on tour with Piven?
No, no, no. He's actually not. I don't know if he's going on tour for a while. No. I'm just kind of like, you know.
You are the shadiest, like one of, you're like one of my best friends, but also one of the, I don't feel like I don't like, I feel like if like I'll go to your funeral and won't know anybody. No one will know each other at your funeral. It'll just be like,
it's great that way.
Like, I mean, it's crazy. Like we spent 7 hours together and you didn't tell me that your girl was pregnant and was due like in 3 days. Like that never came up.
It was that bad. Because you were so funny. You were on one. You were like ranting in the car. I was like listening.
Yeah. And I was like, what's going on with you? And you're like, I don't know. Like I'm having a baby in 3 days. Like that probably should be one of the things that comes up, you know? And like, dude, your baby mama is fucking slamming, dude. She lost that baby weight quick.
Yeah, she's really pretty. She's really she's a hottie. So,
are you guys now? You just played a homeless guy in a TV show.
I'm shooting today. Actually, I have to shoot today too. I'm on a show called Rookie : Feds.
It's a big show. It's on CBS, right?
Can't get enough of the rookie. Wait till he's Rookie Feds.
See, it's on CBS, though, right? It's a big show.
I think it's ABC. Oh, it's on the Paramount lot. Was that ABC, Paramount? Yeah, so, but whatever. It's like, literally, dude, it's two scenes. It's like, silly.
It's pretty good to know what show you're on or what network, though. Now, there's always pictures of you on Facebook with your ass out, and you're doing a handstand. Nobody's asking for this. And it's not just, like, once. It's every week we see a new location.
That's true. I used to do it because I thought it was funny to do it in front of like, you know, landmarks or funny things if they were ironic. And then it went from ironic to just like, here's a picture of my ass out.
Who's taking these pictures, number one?
Different people. Like when I was at Buckingham Palace, I just had like some random British guy. I was like, hey, can you take a picture of me against Buckingham Palace? And then I just dropped my pants. I was like, take a picture.
Now, the only people commenting on this are gay dudes. I'm looking and it's like gay, like there's, you're not getting like, what is the point of this? Like except to ruin everyone's afternoon. I mean, it's great that you could do a handstand. I mean, that's impressive, but can we just do it with and your ass has no sun, by the way. So you see the fucking, like the tan line and then your fucking white ass and is this good for your career? Like, is anyone like, why are we doing this?
Well, it's been a while. If you notice, I haven't done it in a while.
But what's the goal here? I mean, is there any point?
I think the first couple were literally just like, I thought there were, look, when I was a kid, out of high school, I went to like East Germany to see the, like, I don't know, or maybe it was college, Africa, I forget what it was. But like there's a people at the Berlin Wall, like four guys like mooning at the Berlin Wall. It's an iconic photograph. So I just like the idea of like mooning in front of like in front of Buckingham Palace or in front of fucking like Parliament, something fancy, just like at Rodeo Drive. So first it's like ironic. And then it just was, I don't know. Then I couldn't stop myself. No, it was stupid. It was whatever. It was vying for attention. Like, no,
yeah, what? I know. But it's good though, because it's like, there's certain times people are like, oh, I think he's trying to get attention. There's no doubt that you want attention here. Like there's nobody like, oh fuck. But you think he wants attention? I don't know. His ass is on my timeline. Like, cause on Facebook, I scroll down and you're like, oh, hey, happy Pride Month. And it's just your fucking asshole. And I'm like, bro,
it's, hey, listen, people, watch, look at the picture. It's not, it's a nice picture. It's this landscape with mountains and hot springs and shit.
I mean, it is what it is. My
legs are shut tight together. I'm not spreading so you see jinglies and jingles. Okay, Adam, I'm going to stop.
No, keep doing it.
Like a drug addict.
Keep doing it, because I've never mentioned it on the show, and I'm always like, I gotta fucking ask him why he keeps doing this. Like, I keep. No. Yeah, it's just a couple more.
Literally, I'm not gonna do it anymore. Unless
it's. No, you have to do it. You have to do it. I feel like. No, because then I'll feel like you're not doing it because I told you not to show your ass. And I feel like I don't want to
ask. Oh, you're not the only one.
Good. Other people are like, don't show your ass as well.
Steve Hofstetter unfollowed me. And I was like, good.
Oh, well, I mean.
If I hear you tell one more person to take 18 more boosters and now everyone who's a Republican should kill themselves, I'm gonna die. I know. So
he's definitely open-minded. He's definitely wants a discussion, that guy. I think he got invited on some network to debate like a Ben Shapiro or something. And okay. I don't think he did. And I'm like, fuck, dude, you got to do that, bro. Like, I want to see that. You know what I'm saying? Because I understand where Steve Hofstetter is coming from, my old roommate, but I understand where Ben Shapiro is coming from. So I want to fucking see you guys. And then that, but nobody wants to do that.
Let's be honest. No Democrats or liberals want to do it. All the Republicans are gunning to do it.
Really? You think so?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Because like that's something I'd want to see. Like I remember when the guy from the Young Turks who's out of his mind, that guy who says he could beat up Joe Rogan. He keeps saying, that dude is like, when that guy keeps saying he could beat up Joe Rogan, he loses all credibility.
100%.
Like, I can't listen to anything else he says. I'm like, bro, if you're this delusional about this, how am I going to believe you? But anyway, there was a thing where him and Tucker Carlson were debating. And they had like a 2-hour debate on YouTube. Wow. And I'm like, dude, I now have respect for both of you guys way more because I heard both your sides. Hofstetter, I would love to see him actually debate somebody that wants to debate him. Like, do it, bro. He's like, he goes, I don't want to give them the credibility or something. I don't want to give them the views.
And I get it. People want to be in their echo chamber. My echo chamber is people who like butts in landscapes.
Dude, that it's the funniest, bro. You're such a fucking mysterious guy, Bill. I love you. I love you to death, man. Like I really appreciate you. And I you're a guy that like I've watched train three go to jiu-jitsu three times and you keep getting promoted to belts from like legitimate people. You're like, hey, I'm a brown belt. I'm like, you haven't worked out in 6 years. You're like, hey, I just got my four. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like you're a very mysterious guy, bro. And you're always on a show. You're the only actor I know who doesn't know what show he's on. Like while he's on the show.
I know whatever Paramount is. I don't know.
And you're always like, some fucking actor, you know, just Kevin Bacon.
Wait, Star Trek is Paramount, right?
Yeah, Paramount Plus.
And that's CBS?
It's like its own thing. Paramount Plus is its own streaming site.
Okay.
But anyway, whatever. Listen, kick ass today on your set. Thank you to all the people that came on the show. You guys are awesome. And have a good weekend, brother. You're the best.
See ya.
Take care. See ya.